Wrestling Radio, LockerRoomHQ.com.
Screw you guys. And that guy is too dumb. Think about the booking on that. That explains even less. This was the absolute worst thing I have ever seen any time in my entire life, and now I'm going to go kill myself. Oh, what can you do? All right, ladies and gentlemen, this is Wrestling Radio here on Locker Room HQ, part of the Pop Culture Network. And as always, I am your host, Dirt. And the biggest news in the wrestling world is Daniel Bryan. Bryan Danielson, you may have heard of him one time or another. The American Dragon made a name for himself on the independent scene, became part of WWE's NXT experiment. And on Friday, 6:30 p.m. Eastern, it was announced he had been fired from the company. Now, the official story given, of course, was the fact that he had choked out Justin Roberts on WWE Raw with his tie. And there is a rule within WWE that says you cannot choke someone out. Because of everything that happened with Chris Benoit and his family, they have a no-choking rule. You basically cannot take a foreign object, like a ring rope or a cable or a tie, and choke another guy out with it. You have not seen that in WWE since the Royal Rumble 2007, where Umaga choked out John Cena with the ring ropes. And since that time, you have not seen any sort of choking like that, because it was that year that Chris Benoit went nuts and killed his family, and the rule came into effect. So, Daniel Bryan was supposedly fired for this, and as news trickled out, basically, the story became that an outside entity, an outside force, had basically demanded that Bryan Danielson be fired because of this choking, that they found it so heinous and so terrible. It was also edited out of the replays that were put into Superstars and SmackDown, although not on the foreign language editions of Raw that went out to NBC Universal and whatever Spanish language outlets. Of course, the Spanish language feeds could have been sent out in an earlier time before the mandate had come down. Obviously, firing Daniel Bryan was not something that they wanted to do in the beginning, because he did work in a house show later that week, continuing the NXT angle. And the idea was that that was probably going to be a precursor for what was going to happen on Raw. Of course, his firing, it has brought up so much controversy because there are a lot of questions on whether or not it's a work or a shoot. If this was a shoot, if he was legitimately fired, why don't we know who wanted him fired? Why hasn't anyone come out and said, well, this is the corporation that wanted him fired, this was the outside entity? Well, maybe, quite simply, Vince McMahon doesn't want people to know that there's someone out there powerful enough that he would bow to their whims. On the other hand, if this is a work, and this is not legit, why would they do this? They didn't run any sort of angle about him being fired on Raw. There hasn't been any sort of war on the internet, Daniel Bryan tweeting about how much he hates WWE, etc., etc. So there's nothing to gain from it being a work. I'm assuming that this is actually two things happening at the same time. On the one hand, some outside pressure, whether it be Mattel, whether it be someone at NBC, whoever, whatever it is that's pushing for him to be fired for this chokeout, I believe that that is legitimate, that that did happen. And Vince McMahon said, fine, we're going to do this small. We're going to do it quiet. We'll say he's fired. He is released. He can work indie dates. He can, you know, do whatever because he is fired. However, I believe that he did the firing knowing full well that in 60 days, you know, 6 weeks, whatever, he would hire him back. He would be fired. He would be removed from the roster. He would be taken out of the company. They announced to everybody, the licensees, the people in the merchandising department, you know, whoever, that Daniel Bryan was gone. So if you were working on a WWE video game, you would now take him out of the game, whatever. Those people got notice that he's been fired. So that's a pretty big chain of events to just kind of throw out there, you know, if it's a work. But if it's a shoot and they had to fire him to appease whatever this outside source, they say, fine, he's fired. They get rid of him for the time being, but they know that in 2 months they will hire him back before the window runs out for him to actually sign with someplace like TNA and whatever. But he's got the 90 days. He cannot, you know, work with any other company. So 60 days, 80 days, whatever, they will gladly hire him back. They put a throwout line in the promo last night on Raw with Wade Barrett saying Daniel Bryan was the one person who felt remorse. So he had been removed from the NXT group. He said you will never see him again. So in 8 weeks, they can bring Daniel Bryan back as a gigantic babyface doing a run-in at a pay-per-view, like, say, perhaps SummerSlam. And at SummerSlam, during whatever match, Daniel Bryan can jump the guardrail, take out Wade Barrett, you know, do whatever, be a deciding factor, and come in as a gigantic babyface, and there you've got a storyline right there. So it's a shoot that they are going to work. That's what I believe right now. Because there are too many things that have happened to make it look like that this is just, there are too many people in positions where if this was a work, they would not have been told. There are too many people who have come from outside WWE, people who worked for the NBA, people who worked for MTV, people who worked in very corporate environments. Not on the fun side, not on the production side, but on the corporate side, who have gotten notification that he has been fired. These people would not be notified if it was a work, if it was a storyline. When they did the whole Donald Trump, if you remember the storyline of Donald Trump bought Raw from Vince McMahon, and that lasted a whole week because they sent out a corporate press release and everybody flipped out and freaked out, and so they immediately ended the storyline. This went above and beyond that. That was a corporate press release. Daniel Bryan's firing has gone through so many internal circles. So much paperwork inside has been filed on it. I believe his firing is legit. And there are some people that say, well, what about Brian Pillman? When his firing was legit in WCW, but they were trying to work it into an angle as a storyline, and it just ended up that Brian Pillman worked over Eric Bischoff to make more money signing with WWE, but that was a firing they were trying to turn into an angle. Maybe they're doing that in WWE. But WWE would not legitimately fire him and cut him loose just to run a storyline, because I want you to think very carefully about this. How much business does firing Daniel Bryan bring to WWE? They can't sell the t-shirt. They can't market him in the video game. Do you think the ratings went through the roof of people tuning in to see what happened with Daniel Bryan? How many people knew about it? I know about it. You know about it. Because we're the type of people that follow that thing a little more closely. But you have to remember, you know, 5 million people watching Raw on a regular basis, how many of those 5 million people are regularly going to wrestling news sites, going to wrestling fan sites, listening to wrestling podcasts, getting wrestling news? These are the type of people who just will sit there and probably not for another 3 months will they go, hey, I haven't seen Carlito in a long time. What happened to him? You know he was fired. I know he was fired. But for most of them, they're just going to go, I haven't seen him in a long time. What happened to that guy? So WWE doing this whole firing, announcing it after the close of business on a Friday night means it's legit, but they tried to bury it. It had to happen to appease this outside force, but they didn't want it to happen. They're going to reverse it as soon as they can, and they left themselves a storyline where they can bring him back in and have him play into the storyline. That's my call. Because of everything else that I've read, the people I've talked to, the interviews that I've listened to, all the news and announcements that have happened, that's what I believe. Now, I said that was the big news of the week, but of course there are other stories happening. Of course, Roxy is gone from TNA. She apparently was working on a show-by-show basis, not officially under contract, and they decided because of the cost-cutting measures that needed to be made, nobody under an official contract would be let go per the instructions of Dixie Carter. So instead, Roxy doing show by show, she has been released. She showed up for the pay-per-view. They told her, sorry, but your career is going to be on the line and you are going to lose. That's the first she heard about it. Then they went out, did the show, and that was that. Let's see, what else? ODB has announced that she is officially done with the company. She had been talking poorly about the company in her Twitter for a long time, and when she finally had enough after watching the Slammiversary pay-per-view, she apparently contacted them to ask what were the plans for the tapings that were going to be happening tomorrow night, and she just said she wanted out. So she apparently has been given her release, because again, giving her release that she is asking for saves them from having to actually fire anybody else under contract. And again, all things that you can say about Dixie Carter. Granted, she is not the smartest promoter out there. They are not doing the best job in the world of, putting together a wrestling show, but at least she is trying as hard as she can to keep from having to fire anybody. And that's always a plus, right? Right in this economy. Let's see, what else had happened? There was some news about, SmackDown not having, an invasion storyline. The NXT guys did not invade SmackDown and somehow attack this past week, even though they had made that huge interruption on Raw. The official storyline is that apparently they are planning to have the angle turn out that The Undertaker was taken out of action by the NXT guys. That's where that storyline is apparently planning to go. Whether or not that makes sense, whether or not anybody likes it, regardless, that is currently the plan that is in the works, so we'll just have to see how that eventually shakes out. One other interesting tidbit I picked up this past week is that Kozlov, Vladimir Kozlov, I think most people will look at Vladimir Kozlov and say, that guy's no good. Most people will look at that and say, he needs to go. Most people look at that and say that they really need to figure out something else to do with him, because why would they bother? Why would they bother putting Kozlov in the middle of all this stuff? He is not good. He has no business being there. It turns out Vladimir Kozlov is one of the most liked guys in the dressing room. Pretty much everybody likes the guy. He tries very, very hard. He works very, very hard. He listens. He trains. If he steps in the ring and someone says, you're not doing that right, here, let me show you, he watches. He listens. He tries to do exactly what they're showing him. He is someone who desperately wants to succeed in WWE. He is someone who desperately wants to be a better worker. And even though he is not good, and he seems to have been brought up too quickly, and he has a lot of problems, he works with everybody, and everybody enjoys working with him. So that's why Vladimir Kozlov kind of disappeared for a while, because they said, boy, he's not good. We don't know what to do with him, so we're going to take him out for a while. And then suddenly he's back, and he's in these storylines, and he's on TV, and he's using up a lot of time, because everybody wants him to succeed. Everybody wants him to get the opportunity to practice, to be in front of the crowd, to try harder, because they all really like the guy. And I guess that really means something in this day and age, considering what happens with everybody else who seems to, Drew McIntyre, come in and get an opportunity and suddenly become full of themselves. All right, folks, we're going to go ahead and take a break now for commercials, and then when we're back, your look at Monday Night Raw.
My name is Sween Hollick, and if you're into Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, have I got a column for you. Go over to PopCultureNetwork.com and take a look at Radical Retro Turtle Toy Talk, where each and every week we meander down memory lane as I review classic figures from the original Playmates Ninja Turtle toy line. Whether you're a longtime follower of the Fab Four or just getting into the Green Teens, I don't think you'll be disappointed. That's Radical Retro Turtle Toy Talk, and you can only find it at PopCultureNetwork.com.
Check out www.LockerRoomHQ.com for the rest of our exciting podcasts about sports talk and pro wrestling. And don't forget the rest of www.PopCultureNetwork.com for everything else, from toys to comic books and video games and everything else you love. It's www.PopCultureNetwork.com.
Hey guys, I'm Rob Bass. I host a show called Comic Nation TV, where the world of comic books and complete fandom collide. We have great reviews by Pop Culture Network's very own Dirt and Comics Corner's reviewer Ryan Porter, along with our newest member Juan Pineda, who hosts The Art of Comics. So if you guys love comics, hope you check out our show, only on The Pop.
And don't forget to check out the Pop Culture Network store, where everything you buy helps to keep us on the air. That's www.PopCultureNetwork.com. All right, folks, we are back to Wrestling Radio here on Locker Room HQ, part of the Pop Culture Network. And again, as always, I'm your host, Dirt. Let's go ahead and take a look at Monday Night Raw. They open the show, actually, with the recap of the attack from last week, the NXT guys running in. And they showed Wade Barrett in the ring. He said that he had been called out to come to the ring and apologize about everything that had happened last week. So he called out the rest of the NXT guys, and they all came down. And, of course, the official idea here is that Wade Barrett won NXT, so therefore he has a contract. And the rest of the guys do not have contracts, so that's why they come out of the crowd. Because, of course, no one's going to, you know, recognize Michael Tarver with the mask over his face, no shirt on, you know, walking around backstage buying popcorn before the show starts and think to mention it to security. But here they have the guys walk through the crowd and get into the ring, supposedly to apologize for what happened. So, of course, Wade Barrett walked up to each guy, asked them to apologize. They said no. They refused. They said it felt good, et cetera, et cetera. And it was kind of funny because, you know, like, Heath Slater sounded okay. Michael Tarver's response was all right. Skip Sheffield's response was okay. But everyone else just, you could tell that they had problems. Maybe Justin Gabriel was okay. But, you know, everyone else looked nervous. And, you know, there's a reason why they hadn't been called up yet while they were on NXT. But regardless. So, none of them said that they were willing to apologize. And so, they said that they wanted to come out and make an impact, and they had demands that they wanted to be met. So Bret Hart, his music hit, he came out, and Wade said that Daniel Bryan had been removed from NXT, basically said he felt remorse for what had happened last week, so you will never see him again. He said, here's the deal. He said he has a contract and a guaranteed title shot at a pay-per-view. But the rest of the NXT guys, they have their own demands. So Brett said, fine, go ahead. And they gave a mic to David Otunga. And David Otunga said they wanted their own private dressing rooms, they wanted first-class travel accommodations, and they all wanted guaranteed WWE contracts. So Bret Hart said that his job was to find, hot new talent as part of his job there on Raw, but he was not going to sign any of these guys. He said they made the biggest mistake of their life, and he said, you know what, Wade Barrett, you think you've got a guaranteed match? You can forget that. And you know why? Because you're fired. He said, I want all of you out of here, and if you're not gone, I'm going to have the police come and remove you. And then they went to commercial. So they kind of did the segment. I was so afraid at this point. I was so afraid. Because after this segment, I fully expected to pull up the Observer website and just see, yes, that is a blow-off to the entire feud. That very well could have been the end of it. They said, nope, you're fired. That's it. The guys are gone. You would never see him again. That's pretty much what I expected. But luckily, that was not it. They did come back from the commercial break. They said, they talked about the Fatal 4-Way pay-per-view. So they said they were going to have a Fatal 4-Way right now for the U.S. Championship. They brought out R-Truth, John Morrison, The Miz, and the woo-woo guy who's been getting a push quite a bit lately. Basically, what happened is it came down to Morrison and R-Truth, and Morrison laid out R-Truth, wanted to hit him with Starship Pain, but then remembered that this was his friend, felt remorse, so he kind of held off for a second, but then he decided, you know, this is every man for himself, it's a Fatal 4-Way, I'm going to go ahead and do it. So he hopped up, did the Starship Pain, went for the cover. Miz immediately came in, threw John Morrison out of the ring, covered R-Truth, and won the title. So the wrong guy won the match. Title is back on Miz, and Miz will have to defend it against R-Truth in a singles match at the Fatal 4-Way pay-per-view for R-Truth's rematch clause. And while it's nice that they're going to do a rematch on the pay-per-view for the title, I do not want to see R-Truth get screwed out of another title. Unless this is going to be, the U.S. title going back on Miz. Miz stays at the mid-card, and R-Truth is the next guy who gets bumped up to the next level. You know, Evan Bourne has gotten this nice little push, towards the top, and if they're taking the U.S. title off R-Truth to push him up, great. But if they're doing this because they just want the title back on Miz and they're going to have R-Truth be another mid-card geek again, then that's a very upsetting and disappointing. They went backstage and met up with Randy Orton, who is wrestling tonight against Sheamus. They asked about his shoulder injury, and he said he was fine. He was going to prove it again. He also said that he understood that the NXT guys were trying to make an impact, and he knows what it's like to come in and do something heinous to get attention. But he said, to be honest, those guys deserve to get their brains kicked in. And getting fired was lucky for them. And so at this point, it made it clear that the NXT guys were not gone. They were still talking about it, which meant there would be another angle later on. Whew. All right, now I feel better about that. And so let's see. He said they deserve to have their brains kicked in, and hopefully he would get a chance to do that later on down the road. They showed Mark Firestein. His name was announced about 10 different ways last night. He's basically a guy from the TV show Royal Pains. It's another show on the USA Network, and basically Big Show is going to be on Royal Pains, so they allowed the guy to come on and be on Raw. And he was a guy who apparently is a wrestling fan and enjoyed watching the show. He apparently became really good friends with Big Show. He knows that Big Show is trying to become a legitimate actor, and he thought that Big Show was a lot of fun to work with, and he's going to push for Big Show to make more appearances and do different things. And two guys were good friends, and so they just decided to let the guys goof around and play around on the show tonight. So they just basically had him backstage hitting on the Bella Twins, and in came Ted DiBiase and Virgil. He wanted to be co-guest host again, and Mark was going to give in to him until he saw Big Show sneak in behind him. So he got in DiBiase's face and insulted him, picked a fight with him, and when DiBiase took the bait, he then pointed out that Big Show was back there, made it a tag match. Big Show and Mark versus Ted DiBiase and Virgil. The two of them goofed around a little bit, embarrassed themselves in front of the Bella Twins, who then disappeared for the rest of the night because they're not allowed to wrestle anymore. They just come to hit on the guest hosts. And Ted DiBiase really desperately wants to be a guest host, even though Raw now has a general manager and the guest hosts don't have any real power anymore that they announced several weeks ago. But, hey, that's the storyline and that's what they're sticking to. They had Jericho versus Evan Bourne, and again, Evan Bourne being pushed, higher and higher up the food chain here, which is good for him. The two of them wrestled for a long time until Jericho hit a quick code breaker, and for whatever reason, Evan Bourne kicked out of the code breaker. I'm not sure what the point of that was. And maybe I missed something, and it was supposed to be some sort of modified code breaker that he hit wrong, or, I don't know. I don't know what happened. But Evan Bourne kicked out of the Codebreaker. Jericho basically started punching, punching Evan Bourne. The ref told him to break it off. He shoved the ref, got a DQ, so Evan Bourne won the match. But Evan Bourne basically was able to fight back and hit the Shooting Star Press on Jericho. And so they talked about how Jericho was on a losing streak. This was a good win for Evan Bourne. So, I mean, good for Evan Bourne. Sucks to be Jericho. But again, I've talked before, Jericho can come back from that. No big deal for him. John Cena came down to the ring. He grabbed the microphone and he said that he basically knew that Bret Hart's heart was in the right place, firing the NXT guys because they deserved it. However, he was upset because he wanted to fight them. He just basically said that these guys, by ruining a Raw show, made themselves the enemies of everybody in the WWE universe. So therefore, he wanted to call them out. And he said, if they come back now, I'm not going to press charges for assault. Basically following that storyline that they weren't supposed to be there, so attacking him was not a sanctioned match, so therefore it would be assault. Because that makes sense. Every other time someone who doesn't work for the company is supposedly made some sort of attack or whatever. But regardless. So the NXT guys started coming out of the crowd, making their way down to the ring, and the stars of the WWE Universe decide that they are going to have Cena's back this time. So Jerry Lawler makes his way into the ring, which I guess makes sense because, of course, last week they beat him up for no reason, and that'll teach Jerry Lawler not to get involved in someone else's fight. Perhaps he should have done something to help Cena last week, so he jumps in the ring, outruns guys like Evan Bourne, R-Truth, William Regal, Santino. Basically it looks like a bunch of geeks. And I'm watching this and I'm like, oh, it's all the mid-card guys. Yeah, this is going to be some big hot feud with a bunch of nobodies. So immediately I thought, all of these guys who are not in the Fatal 4-Way are going to end up being the guys who, fight the NXT rookies for the next 3 months, and I started to lose a lot of the zest I had for the angle until suddenly out comes Edge, out comes Randy Orton, and eventually out runs Sheamus with his metal pipe going to attack him. So they all start brawling, and the NXT guys start to run away, and they decide to chase after him. And it's funny because they showed the NXT guys jumping over the barricade, running into the crowd, and I immediately saw Mark Henry making a run for backstage. And I thought, Mark Henry is not a very fast runner. What is he up to? So all the guys are running away. The Santino and whoever is chasing after him, and they all run backstage, and it cuts to a shot backstage, and there's Mark Henry leading the pack. He got a head start so that he would make sure he was in the scene backstage. So you just see Mark Henry jogging, and the NXT guys basically blitzing past him, and he's reaching out trying to grab him, and of course they zoom past because they're all, you know, younger and leaner and faster. And they all run out the parking garage doors, and they split up and go different directions. It kind of reminds me, if you've ever seen PCU, the part at, after they throw all the meat on the vegetarians, they're making their run for it, and they go running out the walkway from the cafeteria house, and they all just kind of split up and go their separate ways, just kind of blending in with the crowd. And that's kind of what it looked like the NXT guys were doing here, just running off, splitting up, because, you know, maybe they'll just run down to a Dunkin' Donuts, sit down, grab a cup of coffee, pretend like they were there the whole time or something. Who knows? So they run off and they go to commercial. We come back, and they had Josh Matthews interviewing Sheamus. He asked why he helped Cena, and Sheamus just basically said he doesn't want these rookies to mess up his title match spot at the pay-per-view, and if anyone's going to take out Cena, it's going to be him. So, on the one hand, it kind of makes sense to say that these heels are going to come out there because John Cena has the title. And if John Cena is taken out by the NXT rookies, then their Fatal 4-Way match would not happen. He would not be stripped of the title, they would just skip the match. So, therefore, it makes sense for those guys to be out there and to fight to save John Cena because that's the only way they're going to get their shot at the title. So, that was fine, and at least it made sense. They had Eve and Gail Kim do a tag match with Alicia Fox and Maryse. And honestly, I don't think Gail Kim was ever even in the match. I think Eve wrestled the whole match on her side by herself. It came down to Alicia Fox went to boot Eve in the face. She missed and hit Maryse on the apron. Maryse fell. So Eve hit Alicia with the neck breaker and got the pin. Gail Kim afterwards picked up the Divas title, went to hand it to Eve, but stopped, stared at it for a minute, perhaps thinking, you know, there'd be some sort of heel turn here, some swerve, there'd be some sort of attack, but in the end, Gail Kim remained a face and handed it back and celebrated with Eve their win. Big Show came down to the ring in the next segment, and he introduced his friend Mark Firestein, it sounded like. And then out came Ted DiBiase and Virgil. It's kind of funny to see Virgil. My wife was cracking up when she saw him because he's wearing what appears to be some sort of like workout shirt, some kind of skin-tight shirt. And then at the same time, he's wearing dress pants and dress shoes. She was kind of hoping he would have on black socks and sandals to complete the look. But regardless, Ted DiBiase in the match with Big Show for the longest time. Until finally, Ted DiBiase had had enough. He'd been beaten up. He tagged Virgil. Virgil got mad. Virgil didn't want anything to do with the match. Started to argue with DiBiase till Big Show brought him into the ring, destroyed him, ripped off his workout shirt, which may actually have been a singlet underneath. I'm not sure. Slapped him on the chest a couple times, hit him with his moves, and then tagged in his buddy Mark, who came in, did the worm, basically modified it into a elbow drop, and got the pin on Virgil. So Big Show and his buddy Mark celebrate their win. They leave the ring. Ted DiBiase looks pissed off at Virgil, starts to leave, stops, turns around, goes back to Virgil, pulls out a $100 bill from his boot, and stuffs it in Virgil's mouth, then goes to leave, turns around, goes back, takes the $100 bill back from Virgil's mouth, puts it in the waistband of his trunks, and then leaves Virgil. So I guess that's the end of wrestling superstar Virgil, but at least now Virgil can sell 100 more autographed photos at San Diego Comic-Con this summer. They had the next match of William Regal versus Santino with Vladimir Kozlov as the special referee. Of course, it was stupid comedy match, even though Santino had just been on the front lines beating back the NXT guys and was, in fact, the only guy who pretty much kept pace with them and chased them all the way out the parking garage. Santino was back to doing the comedy match here with Regal, trying to hit him with those Karate Kid kicks and kept missing, trying to remember how to do it until finally They had Regal beat him up. Santino went for a quick roll-up, grabbed the tights, and Kozlov did a quick three-count anyway. Obviously seeing the grab of the tights and not caring, so Regal gets in his face. The two of them start to argue. Bret Hart comes out, and I thought, boy, this is awkward to have Bret Hart come out to clear up this whole Kozlov quick count, pull of the tights here. But instead, he told the guys to come up on the stage. He said he wanted the entire Raw roster to join him on stage, and he's not going to let history repeat itself, and at least not on his watch. And apparently the entire Raw roster includes no Divas, because Divas can't fight worth crap, apparently. So all of the guys on the roster stood in the ring and guarded the ring, basically, while Sheamus and Edge came out for their match against Orton and Cena. I think everybody was basically waiting for an NXT run-in that basically never came. Everybody on the stage just kind of looked bored, like they weren't really sure what they were supposed to be doing, and they didn't really know what to do. And it was great to see, you know, like, the Hart Dynasty standing up there, and the Usos are standing up there, and they never fought with each other. They never thought maybe they'd get some licks in on the other person, maybe do a sneak attack. Nobody wanted to fight with each other. They were all just standing around, and I guess that was fine. They had Cena get the hot tag, of course. And while he's running wild on all these guys after they've beaten up on Randy Orton for the longest time, the lights go out. And they cut backstage, and you see the NXT guys basically breaking everything backstage, unplugging things, knocking things over, beating the crap out of stuff. They grab Bret Hart. They throw him into a limo, and the limo just basically starts smashing into a bunch of stuff backstage. They open the door. They pull out Bret Hart. They basically say that they want contracts, and Bret Hart has until Sunday to answer their demands, and the show is over. So, we got no finish to the main event match, even though we had a super hot crowd, and they probably should have called an audible on that one and just cut the lights afterwards, but they went ahead and did it, and who was driving the limo? Did they ever, maybe I missed it. But did they ever show who was driving the limo? Is it possible maybe Daniel Bryan was in there driving the limo? Is that going to be the storyline? He's going to come back as a major heel instead of a babyface? I don't know. I don't think they actually announced what was going on. I don't see, like, Skip Sheffield driving the limo, you know, smashing it into, well, maybe smashing it into other cars. Who knows? It seemed very, I mean, okay, so they called all the guys out on the stage, so there's nobody backstage, right? So that's why the NXT guys are able to break everything and bust everything up, because all of the guys from the locker room area are standing out front. They can't get back there in time to stop anything that's happening. Okay. Is there no security in the building? Where's Arn Anderson? Where's Tony Guerrera? What's his name? Can't think of his name. Well, where's that guy? Where's Ricky Steamboat? Where's Dusty Rhodes? Where's, where's the event security? Remember when The Rock was walking around backstage and he found the old lady? He sang her, it was her birthday, so he sang her the Elvis song, gave her $100, told her to go buy donuts or what, you know, whatever it is. And apparently they don't work at this arena. You know, this is the Time Warner Arena in Charlotte. This would have been the home arena for WCW, pulling off their massive events after the AOL-Time Warner merger, had they still been in business. And yet, apparently, they don't have guards at the wrestling shows. I mean, on the one hand, great, but on the other hand, it's just kind of, They think someone says, how come nobody did a run-in last week on the show? Oh, so we better do something with all these guys. But what about everybody else? You know, how come the NXT guys, I mean, maybe I missed a shot of them punching out a security guard or throwing Ricky the Dragon Steamboat onto a food table or something along those lines. That's entirely possible. I don't know. Maybe it would have been better if if maybe the Divas had run out to attack and had gotten beaten up. I mean, I know you'd hate to see male on female violence, but it would definitely show them as being the heels. And it is a wrestling show, so I've never understood why people are so against male versus female matches, especially if, you know, these are going to be bad guys portrayed as bad guys. And if women are, you know, shouldn't women be treated equal? I mean, isn't that part of the whole phase of society that we live in now where women can be treated equal, so therefore they can get in fights with guys, and sometimes they can get the upper hand, and sometimes they get beat up? It's just what happens when anybody fights anybody. So I don't know. Maybe they could have done a little bit more with that. I know a lot of the show was rewritten in the last couple days, and we've had a lot of confirmed reports that, you know, massive parts of the show were rewritten, you know, from the beginning. So the show top to bottom was reworked. That's fine. I don't really have a, you know, massive problem with the show, but it just seemed like a lot of the stuff, maybe it went a little too quickly. Maybe it was just a little too much too soon. Doing another run in and run out, I think, would have worked a little bit better than what eventually happened. Or even, if Cena had called him out and they beat up on Cena and nobody else came to Cena's aid for a couple of minutes, but then the locker room started to empty out and everybody fought and they ran him off to end the show, you know, I could see that happening. But I guess, you know, this is leading up to something at the pay-per-view. Of course, Bret Hart has to make an announcement, and something will be happening. I'm assuming this will lead to something happening at the next pay-per-view. So, you know, you're going to see a match at SummerSlam, I would guess. So it's difficult to poo-poo something completely here when, you know, you're still at the beginning of whatever this is. But it just seems like, you know, maybe they could have worked it out a little bit more. But we will just have to stay tuned. I will give them the benefit of a doubt. We will sit back and watch and see what happens. But, you know, my concerns are not gone for what happened. At least they didn't do a complete blow-off in the first 10 minutes, which is what I thought had happened on the show. So for that, I give WWE a thumbs up. All right, guys, that's going to do it for today. I want to thank you guys for listening. Don't forget to check out our other podcast tomorrow. We will be having a new episode of It Figures. I'm going to guess it's going to be Killen, Pixel Dan, Scotty Cash, and Duvall. Flavor Dave. Flavor Dave will be there. Don't forget to check out other shows coming out this week. Of course, we're going to have another episode of Radical Retro Turtle Toy Talk. I'm sure there's another episode of Not Meant in Box. We'll have a Comic Nation TV news update coming for this week. We'll also have, of course, on Friday night, a new episode of That New Toy Smell. We'll also have Operation Retro Shock coming out. We'll have Masters of the Universe Chronicles. There will be a Comics Corner. Shortly after this podcast is going to go up, we're going to see Ryan Porter's reviews of the Boom Studios books coming out this week. We get preview copies of all the stuff coming out this week, and so you'll see reviews of a bunch of that stuff going up. And then, you know, Killen's working on some Lego reviews. I think Duvall is working on some toy reviews. So we got lots of stuff coming in the pipe, so stay tuned to Pop Culture Network. And as always, don't forget, if you like our shows and you want to support us, check out the Pop Culture Network store run by Killen Enterprises. You can go to popculturenetwork.com, click on the store button, or go to killenenterprises.com. Either way, you're going to find DVDs, video games, toys, comic books, and random computer parts that we have we're trying to get rid of. But all that great nerd geek stuff that we talk about on here, if you really desperately want to find yourself a Hillbilly Jim action figure, or a copy of Vampire Reign on the 360, or even WWE Heroes, the comic book. You know, these great, great products, we have them available at our store. So make sure you check out the Pop Culture Network store run by Killen Enterprises. I want to thank you guys for listening, and I'll talk to you on Friday with your recap of WWE Superstars on WGN and your spoilerific look at Friday Night SmackDown.
Tony, there are a lot of people that can claim to be, but there is only one World Heavyweight Champion Ric Flair, the Nature Boy Ric Flair.
A man who wears the 10 pounds of gold, David. You're right, he is something. Nature Boy Ric Flair, the heavyweight champion of the world. Right now, let's go to Nature Boy Ric Flair in a talk with the world's heavyweight champion.
Atlanta has been starved for the sight of a real man. Commitments all over the world have kept me from being in Atlanta. As much as Atlanta deserves a real man like Ric Flair. Who are you talking to? All you young ladies that are headed for Florida, you don't have to go to Disney World to find Space Mountain. It's right here. You pay attention, sweetheart, or you'll never get in line. But people stand in line because they're going to have an opportunity to see the greatest wrestler in all of professional sports.
Long limousine, just like that.
Jet airplanes,
just like that.
Custom made clothes,
just like that. And any woman in the world I want, just like that. Just like that. Just like that. Just like that.
The list of them is from all the big guns that want to be where I am. They want to wear the custom made clothes. They want to ride around the long limousine. They want to woo the finest women in the world today. Well, gentlemen, you remember one thing. Ric Flair is forever, and so is NWA.
Long limousine.
Just like that.
Jet airplanes.
Just like that.
Custom made clothes.
Just like that. And any woman in the world I want. Just like that. Just like that. Just like that. Just like that.
Woo! Looking so fine. Show them what's cooking in Atlanta, GA tonight.
Just like that. Just like that. Just like that. Just like that.
Woo! Looking so fine.
Just like that.